Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
The issue, of course, around Rasool is a big one. And, of course, the question is, well, I mean, he is a seasoned diplomat. He needs to know what he is doing. He did know what he was doing. He was warned about it. We know that as well. And now he has been declared a persona non grata. And that is very much part of that protocol. Well, let's try and understand what happened, on what basis he's being sent back to South Africa, and look into perhaps who is going to replace him. Tony Leon is a former leader of the Democratic Alliance, certainly has experience as a former ambassador for South Africa to Argentina and other countries in that region. He would be well versed with these protocols. Tony Leon, good morning. Thank you for joining us once again. How are you?
I'm fine, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm assuming that an ambassador, especially to a country like the United States, is very clued up about what they are and not allowed to do.
Well, one would hope so. In this case, apparently not. When I was made an ambassador of South Africa back in 2009, I was instructed by the South African Minister of International Relations at the time, she said, well, don't please send me back reports that I can see on CNN. So she meant by that, report back, tell me what's really going on, which I did. I mean, I was in a country, Argentina, which was governed by a president every bit as mercurial and from the left position as populist as Donald Trump. And she was under doing some extraordinary things, although it was confined to the southern tip of South America, which you could say Trump is now doing in the wider world.
Right.
And I reported back very frankly on that. But I also was cautioned when I arrived, and I had no background in diplomacy, by the Indian ambassador to Argentina, who said to me, the first job of an ambassador is to think twice and then say nothing. In other words, it was the best advice.
Absolutely.
Do not pontificate in public on your inner thoughts or take part in discussions where you are seen to be critical of the host country and the head of state where you are posted. That is a complete kind of diplomacy 101 that even the dullest, the dimmest, and the least informed could discern. So it's very, very unusual for Rasool to have done what he did. I might also say, if you follow the intricacies of the diplomatic rule book, it's also somewhat extraordinary that he was immediately on Twitter declared a persona non grata. Normally, there are a few steps you go through. You get called in.
Right.
There's a note verbal there, a lot of things. Well, that was all skipped because the Trump White House doesn't use the old playbook. In any event, I think if you cut to the chase, Howard, as South Africa, in Trump's own words last night, was on a watch list. So that's all the more reason, or fortiori, as they say in law, for you to be ever more cautious and careful. And Rasool, you know, taking part in a policy seminar back in South Africa, was completely incautious and, I would say, careless about the wider issues at stake. And I also think, you know, following on from this, for Suram Pause to say it's a hiccup is a complete understatement, beaten only by Rasool's own comment that he has
no regrets.
Well, yes. He might have no regrets, but as my friend Peter Bruce put on Twitter in rather earthy language, you know, when you've messed up an entire country relationship, who are you to say you have no regrets?
Absolutely, the arrogance in that it's so childish in a way, but so were the insults. And my concern is none of this came as a surprise. South Africa knew full well who they were sending. There were many people who voiced concerns about his history, his affiliation, his stance. Why send somebody like that if you value that relationship?
Well, it's the case of South Africa practicing what Boris Johnson called cakeism. You know, you want your cake and you want to eat it at the same time. So they saying, well, yes, America matters to us because it's our second largest trading partner. It's hugely important in the world, as we know. It's the biggest power in the world. It's got veto powers over the World Bank, the IMF, and a clutch of other international organizations that matter or will matter to South Africa. So that's important. On the other hand, we're going to just behave as we like. Interestingly enough, if you look at the timeline, Rasool was actually named as ambassador, appointed last May. He only went in November for various reasons. And as usual, I think the Department of International Relations had the wrong analysis. It made the smug assumption that Joe Biden would be comfortably reelected. And once that didn't happen, obviously, with Trump's election in November, they went ahead anyway. So they'd appointed him in anticipation of Biden, landed up with Trump, and made no adjustments, which is pretty much par for the course. We actually do not change our stance, our policies, when the circumstances around us or in the world change. We just carry on regardless. And, you know, there's unfortunately for the country a big price tag attached to all this.
What happens now? Because now they have to choose somebody new, somebody different. The direction that and the affiliations that that person has is going to be so telling in terms of their intention to get over this hiccup, as Ramaphosa has called it.
Well, one would hope they will apply some thought, sensitivity, and strategic nous, although none of those are assured in our case, or in the ANC or the government's case. So yes, they should look once again, and to declare someone an ambassador persona non grata is unusual. Also unusual is the fact that the receiving country can decline to receive the incoming diplomat. You have something called an agrément, and that means that America's got to actually agree to the person designated by South Africa as its next ambassador. On the other hand, these are all about, you know, personalities. I do think, Howard, and you've obviously discerned this and dealt with it before, that even if you sent, you know, a superstar to Washington, someone who was not affiliated with the sort of rather miserable policies of the ANC in the international world, you would also have to say that even the best diplomat would have great difficulty navigating the new terrain in Washington absent a step change in South Africa's policy. And I think we know, because it's quite clear, that there are a number of policies, leaving aside some domestic policies like the Expropriation Act, which Trump has already leapt upon, which have really put us on the wrong side of the road vis-a-vis the US. And one of them is our alignment with Iran, which was doubled down recently by the ANC. And the other is our hostility to Israel, or putting Israel on the rack of the International Court of Justice for genocide charges. Those two obstacles, if they just continue to be kept on the road and not removed or rearranged, I think are going to bedevil any attempt by even the best diplomat to change the
view,
international weather as far as South Africa is concerned. And look, you know, a lot of people say, well, look, Trump is a bully, and I think he is, and Trump is unpredictable. He certainly is that. And what he's really doing is sending a message to small countries to say, don't mess with the U.S. Well, I think that might be true. I mean, I'm talking about the step against the removal of Rasool. But I think there's another message he's sending out. He's saying to much bigger players like the U.K. and the EU and so on, actually, this is how we respond to a country like South Africa, which has these very eccentric, in our view, views on the world. So you must also adjust your sights, your relationships accordingly. So I don't think it's just restricted to us being part of the global South. I think every other
country is
a message on their relationship with South Africa. So I just think we should we should read the runes, as they say.
Well,
but
we've never
we're
been.
Not very good at doing
yeah,
that.
We aren't particularly good at reading the room. If the United States hasn't sent their new ambassador yet, there's a lot of talk, of course, about Joel Pollack, who South Africa absolutely, or the South African government, Durko really doesn't, they don't love particularly. Do you foresee that they might reject him if he is put forward as the ambassador, given what's happened?
Well, of course, they could take that view, South Africa. They have that right under the Vienna Convention. But if it would be, it would probably only further aggravate or sour an already deteriorating relationship. So they might think twice before doing that. Of course, I have no idea who America is going to appoint and how quickly or slowly they're going to move that particular position. On that position. So I simply don't know. But, you know, I have to say, it struck me that in the same week as this was happening, our expulsion of our ambassador, the decision of the ANC majority, assisted by the Patriotic Alliance, I notice, some people think, or the pro-Israel party, to go and rename Sandton Drive, or not to rescind the renaming of Sandton Drive after Leila Khaled, is almost sort of saying, well, we're going to, you know, double down on our current approach to America, which is just a stupid, childish gesture politics of the worst sort. I mean, you are dealing with a situation where you really need to be grown up, you need to be smart, you need to be adept, you need to actually, if you want to know how to engage with the Trump world, just look at Britain. I mean, they have a centre-left government, Keir Starmer, their foreign secretary, David Lammy, had all kinds of harsh things to say about Trump before he became foreign secretary, before Trump's election, and they have pivoted. They realize that the most important relationship, number one, for the UK is the United States, and they have adjusted their sails
to make it work. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Tony Lynn, before I let you go, one quick question. If you were offered the role, would you take it? Would you consider it seriously?
Well, I think that's such a hypothetical, theoretical, and improbable scenario.
The DA, of course, part of the Government of National Unity.
Yeah, but they seem to have no heft when it comes to international relations,
right,
because
yeah,
they're
true.
Excluded completely from any. Because I can assure you, not based on any top secret information, that the DA had any input into international relations, we would not be in the position that we're in now. That's a certainty.
Right. And of course, I'm sure listeners might not have noticed, he didn't answer that question because he's thinking twice and he's saying nothing. Tony Leon, thank you. As always, awesome to chat to you. And I look forward to doing that again. It is 8:34.